Air Bud, I'm not worried about you. You don't have fingers.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about you not responding to my emails. Right. So you want to do like, so like, we do like every other syllable. Like
what?
So like, you do like episode four. That's really stupid.
I need to make a suggestion for all the listeners, both of them. when you have kids and you go out to a restaurant, don't let little Junior run ahead of you and tell the host how many are going to be in your party. Because without fail, that child, I don't care how smart you think your child is, you may be using flashcards, your child may be reading stop signs, your child could, you know, you think you've got the next Mozart. Your child will not get the proper number of people in your party correct. I don't care who it is. I work as a host at a restaurant, and every day I have about five children that run in, and they're always excited about it too. They're always excited that they get to be the person who tells the host how many are in the party. And it's always, seven.
How many in your party?
Seven in the party.
So there's seven adults.
No. Seven kids and...
You have seven kids?
No. Seven adults and, like, I don't... You're not helping. And by the time I get an answer that I can run with,
yeah,
the parents have already walked in and it ends up being a completely different number of... Like, I've never had a kid be like, excuse me, nine?
Yeah.
With a high chair and a booster if you have it. You know, it's never that. That's all. So, just do me a favor.
Much, yeah.
Thank you very much. Is this new carpeting? Very nice. You know, like, doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen.
You know, not that we have segments or anything on this show, but Dave is beginning to have a little regular action with stories that involve the homeless. And
I think we all do, but yeah, we just make the decision not to relate every story that we have with homeless people. Maybe I'm wrong.
But I gotta say, I've got one that it's not as long as some of yours, but yeah, I think it reaches the height of just ludicrous situation.
Okay.
It's very short.
Okay.
Me, Sun, Chris, and Sterling are walking down 3rd Street Promenade. And we went to Barney's Beanery. We had, you know, a drink or two. We weren't, like, drinking, but we had a drink with our meal. And we're walking back to our car. We parked, like, far, far away. And as we're walking by this, this cigar shop, we were like, just on a whim. Hey, let's get cigars. Yeah, let's get cigars. Whatever. We do it. And I have $10 left in my pocket. $10 left. And it just so happens that one of the cigars is $10. So we both get a $10 cigar. Okay? Each of us. So we have our own $10 cigars. I have no money in my pockets now. I have no money in my pocket. No change. Nothing. Both of us now are smoking cigars as we're walking back to our car. A homeless guy says, can you help me out? And there's nothing more ridiculous. There's nothing, there's no sight more ridiculous than two guys smoking cigars and saying, no, sorry, can't help you. Yeah, there's nothing, you can't get any more fat cat about yourself than you smoking cigar and saying, no, but I really couldn't help him. I had no money. I had no money, but I had to tell him, meanwhile, smoking a cigar.
If there's one thing that cartoons have taught me, it's that the only way to light a cigar is with a $100 bill. You know, it's never like a, do you have a, you know, it's always just, all right, here we go. Yeah. That's very funny.
There's a new update in stories with stories with the homeless.
You and I have had conversations in the past where we talk about being a good Samaritan, helping out people when you can, or, you know, where do you draw that line if a situation doesn't really look like it's, you know, conducive to your safety? Where do you, like, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Yeah.
I'm walking to my car for work. I get into my parking garage. Now, my parking garage has, like, a gate that you can only get in with a clicker, or you can only get in if you have a key to get in. So it's an enclosed parking garage.
Okay.
There's a disheveled old man. I want to say he's one of those, looks a little too put together to be a homeless guy, but a little too shabby to look like somebody who
has...
You know, who owns a house? So he's somewhere. He's
somewhere in between.
You know, he had like clean clothes, but he had crust coming out of his mouth, and he looked like he hadn't showered or shaved in a very long time, and he looked very old. And he was carrying a backpack at his side. Could have easily put the backpack on. He had it at his side, and there was nothing in the backpack. It was like folded up.
How did you know that?
It didn't look like there was anything in it. And he's just kind of shuffling through the parking lot.
Okay.
I have my headphones on. I see him, but I try to just assume that it's a strange old man that's just shuffling.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously he'll get out of my way when I back my car up. he starts speaking to me, but I have my headphones on, so I don't hear him. So I take my headphones off. I'm like, excuse me, sir, what was that? And he just...
Hold on. I don't think you said, excuse me, sir, what was that?
I did.
Did you?
Yes. Because my instinct is, I don't know what...
You go straight to your Emily Post book and go, all right, what's the...
Like, I do, and it's, I think I got it from my mom, this idea of if I don't know the score, I need to assume, like, no,
assume nothing.
Sir, I can't help you. It wasn't like, gentlemen, but it was like, you know, it was like, sir, I don't know what you're saying, you know, like, if I don't know your name, if I don't know, I'm just gonna go, sir, what do you, sir, yeah. You know, so, he's, doesn't make any sense, he's just rambling incoherently, but it's not a powerful ramble. It's a very like get it.
Yeah.
It was very like assumed. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not really.
I'm going over territory we've talked about before.
Yeah. You know. And I'm like, you know, all I really heard was that he needed a ride, and I was like, sir, what are you saying?
Yeah.
You know, and he's right. And I'm like, sir, if I don't know what you need, I can't help you. This is what I say to him.
Yeah.
If I don't know what you need, I can't help you. And it's around this time that I realize that I'm not late for work, but
if you don't start going soon, it's gonna get.
If I don't get in my car right now and drive to work, I will be late.
I hate those situations. Like that's every time that happens to me. I always see someone who I haven't talked to in a while.
Or you realize you need to go to the bank. Or it's like always on those days where you have just enough time.
So you're happy the a-hole. It's like, yeah. Oh, you know, oh, it's so good to see. Okay, you know, I gotta go. I gotta go. What's the problem? I'm not late, but I'm going to be late. And so I gotta, I'll talk. What, you got the same number. Okay, I'll call you.
And it always, you know, you always end up looking like the asshole to them. And then you always get to work and you have a couple extra minutes.
Yeah.
So you realize you could have talked to him for a couple minutes. So I'm like, sir, I don't know what you need. I need to get to work. Have a great day.
Yeah.
I get in my car. Now, my car is, they're very narrow spots. And the spot to my right, when I park in my spot, is an old, like, Ford truck that's very old and it's very big and they're all very small spots. So it's a very narrow space in between my passenger side door and this Ford truck.
Okay.
He shimmies into that area and tries to open my passenger side back door.
Terrible.
My heart's racing.
Right.
I'm like, and my windows are up, so now I'm mouthing, no.
Right.
No. Sir, no. But he obviously can't hear me, because, you know, the windows are up. So then I lower the window a little bit, and I'm like, sir, I need to go to work. I'm not giving you a ride anywhere.
Right.
And then I realize that if I back up, it's so narrow.
Right, you may be hurting.
That I'm going to, like, rub up against this guy, you know. That's the last thing I need on my conscience. And so, like, I slowly try to wheel out. So here I am, slowly backing out of my driveway, rubbing against a man in between me and an old Ford truck.
Yeah.
Telling him I can't give him a ride. I finally, like you know, just back up eventually. And I have to, like, go extra far out just so I don't hit him when I'm turning around. And I drive off, and I look in the back of my rearview mirror as I'm driving off, and he's staring at me and walking towards me as I'm driving, as if, like, oh, eventually I'm going to realize I need to stop, and he's going to get in the car, and we're going to go on our crazy crusade, or whatever we're going to do. And, you know, so I drove off, and it was weighing on my mind for the rest of the day, just these times when maybe that man really needed my help, but if he's not going to help me assess the situation... If all I have to go on is the fact that I can't understand this man and we could be driving anywhere, it's a little bit too much like an Unsolved Mysteries episode. just a little bit.
We were talking about pet peeves early in the day
when
we're not podcasting. People, and this happens, I think, only in LA. I haven't seen it in any other city. The light just turned green.
Yeah.
The light just turned green. Bah, bah.
Yeah.
It just turned green.
And
calm down.
And the person who honked was like four cars back.
Yeah.
It what takes you, a couple of seconds,
unless
guys.
You're like a taxi driver and like, even in that situation, I don't understand, but let's say you are a taxi driver. Yeah, you've got someplace to go. You got a customer in the back, yada, yada, yada. But more times than not, it's a person who just is expecting you to anticipate right when it turns from red to green, and you got to go. Go for this person. You got to go quick.
I always give them the benefit of a doubt. Like, if I see someone who's on my ass on the highway, or someone who's trying to weave, or someone who honks when the car turns when the light turns green, I always try to say, well, maybe they have a pregnant person in the back. Maybe this guy's got a stump for a hand. He's trying to get to the hospital.
I never think that. I always think
really?
A-hole.
I mean, I think my first instinct is always a-hole, but then my instinct is, well, let me just at least look in the car and see if he's just an asshole sipping on a Red Bull. Because if he is, then then I can be like, okay, this guy's a douche. But otherwise, you know, maybe he's like, it's not my fault. My baby is giving birth. Like, I don't know what that means, but... You know,
I like that Red Bull is now associated with an a-hole now. It's true.
It's
although,
true. You know,
like,
yeah.
I don't really get that.
Do you like Red Bull?
No.
I can't.
It just tastes terrible to me.
I can't.
And I don't like getting a super energetic, like, you know, energy high and then crashing like an hour later.
That, you know what energizes me? Not drinking something that tastes like shit. You know, I remember I used to try to convince myself a couple of times in college. I would be like, man, I don't have the time to write this essay.
Yeah.
I'm tired. And I would always try to convince myself that last time that I tried a Red Bull, that wasn't, that was just like a fluke. That was just a bad can.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, you know, I always plan it out. Like, I'm gonna drink a Red Bull tonight and I'm gonna be fine. Yeah. I always try, I could take one sip, like, that paper's not getting done. I'm going to sleep. I can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So no one knows about this. I don't think you know about this, but, I've been having this dilemma, okay? Me, Sterling, and Sunkrish one time were, a couple days ago, we were sitting down on the couch.
You tell the exact same story that you just told. Like, Tom, you know, okay, anyway.
We're sitting down, and we're flipping through the channels. It just happens that Air Bud is on the TV, okay? And I don't know how we get on the subject, but we get on the subject of whether Air Bud is real or not. And I'm sticking to my guns that... So Sunkrish and Sterling are saying that every shot of this dog shooting a basket is a cutaway, and it's like, whatever. I watched the movie. It's not a cutaway. I'm not saying this dog is Michael Jordan.
Don't give him an NBA contract yet.
Yet. But if you pass him a ball, if you bounce it for him, he's able to, like, sort of, like, bark slash bite it, and it jolts up and he makes a basket. I'm not making this up.
I like
so
bark slash bite.
Yeah.
The bark alone will get the ball rolling.
So this infuriated me because they still don't believe.
Right.
I remember before the movie came out, or right before it came out, I remember seeing a news a thing on the TV about, you know, the real Air Bud, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And so this inspired me to do a little internet search. And some ridiculous things I found in the process, okay? I don't know if you've ever done this, but when you've wanted to do a search for something very simple, and you get all these ridiculous hits that come up, one of them, which isn't ridiculous, but it's like, Roland Bud Schumann dies, commanded Naval Air Station. I mean, yes, Air and Bud are in
Air
the sense.
And Bud, right.
I'm looking for Air Bud. This one, I don't know what it has to do with anything. Running a call girl business was a drag, Heidi Fleiss says. Where's Air Bud?
Well, I guess the letters A, I, and R, it might be... That's ridiculous.
There's no Air Bud. Then I looked on Wiki Answers to figure out, okay, is this dog... I want a definitive answer. Is this dog real or not? I went to Wiki Answers and to the question, where is the dog from Air Bud now? Answer, he's dead and no one cares. Oh my God!
Wiki Answers,
chill just, out.
Yeah, relax a little bit.
Chill
man.
Out. And then I started looking at the other movies because
he's dead and no one cares.
Like, chill out. It's a kids movie.
And it's a legitimate question.
Now, to go on their side for a little bit, the series of movies that followed Air Bud.
Yeah.
I mean, are absurd. Air Bud Golden Receiver, where he plays football. Air Bud Seventh. Air Bud Spikes Back.
Okay.
Which is volleyball. Air Buddies, which is he gets kidnapped and his puppies have to get him back from I don't know who. Then this one is the most ridiculous I find. Air Bud, seventh inning fetch.
Oh, see, I was trying to think of what a good gag would be.
He can't play football. He can't play football. But you definitely can't play baseball because you can't hold a bat. That's the first thing. And then you can't convince me a dog will run on the line that's given to him and stop at a base, then run and stop at the next base. It can't happen.
It's not happening. But, like, it reminds me of, you know, how in things like that, it's always the first one. Like, you can totally conceive of maybe a dog being able to knock a ball up. But it's so clear when they get to that point where it's just suddenly visual effect. Like, suddenly it's a CG dog.
Right.
You know, leading off of first base and then going back, you know. Like, that's ridiculous.
The one I missed was Air Bud, World Pup.
Soccer. Oh, that's amazing. You know, that must take some time.
Absolutely. Just a guy slaving.
Let's get the writers for the Air Bud franchise to do Wikipedia answers. To do all feel a little bit better.
To do all our puns.
I would say that
Hold on. Can I pause?
Yeah.
Where do you stand on this issue? Is he real? Is he not real?
Was that a pun? Can I pause?
Oh!
Well, I don't think we can top that.
We're
the
done.
Podcast
that's
is
it. All right. Goodbye.
I think that there has to be a bulk of it. I haven't seen Air Bud. Yeah. I haven't brought myself to see that. I think a bulk of that has to be a real dog doing real things.
If there's a listener out there that has definitive evidence that Air Bud is real,
listening,
please email us. Because I haven't been able to sleep at night, to be honest. Just waking up in a cold sweat.
Is it real or not?
Air Bud!
Oh, God. Seventh inning fetch. I remember thinking about the Air Bud, like the dog hitting the baseball bat, reminded me of our take on the
Man vs. Beast
show. Because Man vs. Beast was the show that would, on Fox, it was one of the best reality shows I think I've ever seen.
Yeah,
basically,
for people that maybe didn't see it, you want to explain it?
Yeah, basically consisted of them pitting humans versus animals in activities.
Yeah.
It would be the world record holder for eating hot dogs versus a bear eating hot dogs.
Right.
It was a chimpanzee versus a Navy SEAL, not a Navy SEAL, like a seal, like a man in an obstacle course.
A world-class sprinter versus a giraffe in sprinting,
right.
I think was one of them. So the ones that we created that are ridiculous.
But what we thought was because they really took it seriously. Like the narrator would be like, you know, and the top speed of the giraffe? Unknown.
Yeah.
If you're going to go for it, let's really, really go for
it. Also, one of the ridiculous things that came out of that was every single competition that they did, eating, whatever it was, the commentators were like weighing the pros and cons, and it always had one point where it'd say,
it would do the tail of the tape. It would be like, you know,
now,
the human is 6 foot, the giraffe, 9 feet, 9 inches.
Now, what's going to help out the bear in terms of eating the hot dogs is realizing he's in a race or competition. Of course, because that animal has no idea.
It's the pros and cons. And, you know, honestly, you can say that all you want. I'm never really going to be sure if that animal knows.
We'll never know.
So we started getting on the idea of, you know, because
making
that
our
show,
own Man vs. Beast.
Right, because that show was very short-lived. I only think they did like 2 or 3 episodes. They could have done so much more.
Bunch of golden retrievers versus the LA Kings in hockey.
Just the image of a bunch of dogs just because you know how hard it is for them to stand up in a car, let alone just on ice,
tripping
just,
them, sliding.
Just like dogs getting checked really hard into the glass. We had an Olympic skier versus a carp.
Yeah,
in a downhill ski run. So basically, just a carp tied to one ski, just thrown down a slope.
There was a puff adder snake versus Arnold Palmer. And he's kind of good too.
Yeah,
like it's a cutaway shot, but you see him like get a good drive.
Yeah, like Arnold Palmer.
He's on the fairway.
Arnold Palmer gets it to the green, and then it's the snake's turn, and you don't see the snake fight, but you just see the ball go pretty far.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts back, and there's just a golf club on the ground and the snake right next to it.
Yeah.
A
bunch of turkeys versus the 49ers.
Just because what a great lineup on the gridiron. Like right there.
42!
At the line of scrimmage. and like the 49ers are playing for keeps, too.
Yeah.
They're not like,
absolutely.
One of them just gets the ball and just. Boom!
Yeah.
Right into him, and you just see all these peacock feathers.
Yeah.
Just falling slowly.
The height of just ludicrous situation would be a sprint where it's a cheetah versus a 9-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And so what happens is it's a close up shot for the first part of it. They're sprinting. Clearly the cheetah's winning. And then there's just a wide shot of the cheetah runs the distance. Okay. And then
wins the race.
Wins the race.
Hands down.
Then comes back and then starts attacking the little girl because it's a goddamn cheetah.
Just this overhead shot of the cheetah. Like, ran 100 yards to the girl's 10 yards.
Right.
And then turning around and just, like, picking up dust.
Yeah.
Just colliding with the girl and just going, wow! just really loud from very far off. Just, great. Oh, how absurd. Because, you know, honestly, at the end of those shows, they got ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I remember for the first one, this is not one that we're creating. This is what it really was. It was 50 midgets, or short people, as they were called, because let's not degrade them any further than we have to.
Mm-hmm.
Versus an elephant in who can pull a 747 furthest.
Right.
They attached these midgets in a harness.
Right. Right.
But they didn't want... That's what got me. They didn't want to call them midgets. They were like, they're little people. Now let's attach a bunch
having
of them together.
Pull, is not degrading at all.
No.
I mean, that race is, I mean, pointless to do. That's in vain. You might as well put Michael Phelps against a dolphin. Michael Phelps is really fast. He's not as fast
as
a dolphin.
He's not a goddamn dolphin.
Yeah.
What I really like, too, is because that was for all the people that wake up in a cold sweat at night wondering who would be able to pull a 747 further, an elephant or 50 small people.
I gotta be honest, that wasn't my favorite competition, but I gotta be honest, I am waiting for Man vs. Beast to come back again.
They gotta
was
do
there
it.
A number two?
I know they did a second one.
Right.
Because the finale to the first one was, I think, the elephant's... elephant versus the short people.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was the relay race between the midgets and the camel.
Oh, right.
And for
the entire
duration of the show, they were like, and still to come. You know, and they would show these midgets in like really nice, like kind of like spandex running uniforms, preparing, just kind of like, you know, touching their toes.
Yeah.
And then they would show the camel flipping out. And the midgets were like, "Oh no, we're not down with that." Like, you know, are they going to forfeit
the race?
Oh,
that's right. And there was like a father son, like the father was the coach or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a father son team.
And
I think they
pulled it out at the end and beat the camel.
That's great.
I think the camel got tired and just gave up.
The camel doesn't realize it's in a race.
Doesn't realize it. But that was, I mean, more reality shows like that and fewer like everything else that's on television.
Absolutely.
Please.
I mean,
Please.
We're so inundated with so many reality TV shows. Give me at least a couple of Man vs. Beast.
Yeah. There was the orangutan who was free hanging versus an Olympic guy, like an Olympic gymnast.
Yeah.
Orangutan just starts peeing from where he was standing.
He's so comfortable doing that, he can just go about his business.
And just pee, you
know.
Yeah,
and he won. He won.
Yeah,
I thought,
he won. Yeah. Well, because he was lowering his weight. You know, he didn't weigh as much by the end of that. Amazing.
So the Star Trek trailer is out. I'm not a big Trekkie. I'm sorry. I think it looks pretty great.
If for no other reason than Simon Pegg as Scotty for split second being a badass.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't really know the actor that much besides he plays Siler on Heroes. I think he looks like a great Spock.
Doesn't he?
I don't know anything about Star Trek, but I know enough to know that looks pretty darn good.
I always had, though, in my back pocket when someone would debate Star Trek versus Star Wars that Star Wars actually had shit going on. There were space battles. It wasn't like... On Star Trek, I was a huge fan of Next Generation, but it was literally like, shields are at 60%. They're preparing to fire. Still preparing.
Yeah.
Red alert. Preparing our torpedo bay. It'll be about 10 minutes.
Star Wars, it was... nothing's going on. Cut to, they're in a fight.
Ridiculous epic space
battle.
Yeah,
they're being attacked.
So I do have to say I'm a little... like disheartened that it looks like Star Trek's gonna pick it back up and not give me that excuse that I can't make that anymore. That at least Star Wars go, because it was all like ships exploding and lasers and
huge space monsters.
Yeah, you got no idea why.
I saw this also on the internet. A juror who vanished during Alaska Senator's Ted Stevens corruption trial told the judge Monday she lied about her father dying and flew to California for a horse race.
That's fantastic.
She skipped out on going to court on not like some random case that was like, someone, you know, whatever, had a fender bender and they wanted to sue him. It's like a big time case. It's an Alaskan senator on corruption charges. And she lied about her father dying to go to a horse race.
And let's
how great must that horse race be?
And let's put this in perspective. Afterwards, told the judge.
Yeah.
Have you done jury duty?
I have not. Have you?
Yeah. What's it like? Yeah. It's terrible. If you live in a small town, who knows? If you live in LA, you're taking about 3 hours to drive downtown to the courthouse.
Right.
You sit there all day.
Right.
It's never clear when you're going to go home. It's never clear how much you're going to get done, when you're going to come back, if you're going to come back. What cracked me up, though, and I think I've told you this before, was the case that I was on, the defendant didn't try to defend himself at all. didn't get up on the stand.
Yeah.
Didn't, like, I drove all the way down here, and you're trying to avail yourself using the justice system.
Yep.
And yet you're not, like, the prosecution would have witnesses, and they're like, oh yeah, this happened. And the defense didn't have anybody to, like, counter that. You know, even if you're, like, a shitty liar,
yeah,
get up there and give me, like, so there's an argument. So there's, like, you know, well, he said this happened, but he said this happened.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. The guy just sat there and just kind of looked down, and all these people in the prosecution were like, yeah, it went like this. Then a cop would get up and be like, yeah, it went like this. And then, yeah, it went like this. And then it was like, all right, jury, deliberate. What's to deliberate?
Right, right.
Like, I mean, it was absolutely absurd. That's all I ask, is that if you're asking me to give up my week, give up my month of work to come do this and actually be a citizen, I don't mind doing it. Like, yeah. It was kind of cool. You get chills going into a legitimate courtroom and you just feel like you want to quote the OJ trial from beginning to end. I didn't do that. That'd be absurd. But, like, you know, you're kind of like, all right, this is kind of fun. I'm going to really be a part of the justice system.
Yeah.
And then you just sit there and listen to a completely one-sided case.
Right. Like, I had things to do. Just stand up and say I'm guilty, and then that's the end of it.
If you don't want a trial,
right,
just be like, Your Honor, I'm not guilty, but I'm not going to be able to tell you why. So you guys figure it out.
Right.
You know? It was really cool. Was the defense attorney was this crotchety old, looked like he walked out of Inherit the Wind. You know, he had suspenders.
Your Honor. Fixing his bow tie with a white suit.
Right. But he was one of those, you ever see bad...
Has a cane.
Yeah. Have you ever seen really bad old actors?
Absolutely, I have, yeah.
Like the actors that are old men that look like Anthony Hopkins.
They should be, like, they should have gravitas.
Yeah.
And they look like they do, but...
But they've just been doing B-movies their whole life. That was kind of how he was. You looked at him, you're like, this guy must have been a lawyer for his entire life.
Yeah.
But he was still like, Your Honor, what are we talking about here? Just, like, not helping out at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved him. I loved watching him. Like, it was fun to watch him move. And I think he had, like, he wore, like, a purple vest, and he had matching purple socks that I don't think anybody noticed but me. but he didn't have anything to say. He was just kind of like, Your Honor. He was trying to use the common sense card. Like, he was like, you know, this prosecution may have witnesses and evidence and a video of my client perpetrating the crime.
And definitive evidence that he did it and no one else.
My client may have said he did it, but what are we really talking about here? We're talking about a man sitting right here with a family. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
I think if I ever became a lawyer, I would definitely want to be that style of lawyer that just kind of a showboat. He kind of has a Colonel Sanders look to him. I'm not from the South at all. I'm from San Diego. But for some reason, I put on a fake Southern accent.
Your Honor. Just a little bit like Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, I put on pounds to be a little portly, to sort of fit into like a big white suit with a little black bow tie.
Got the suspenders that are kind of really struggling to keep your pants up.
You always sort of touching them a little bit. Your Honor.
Yeah. Always take that extra moment leading into your, you know,
the
prosecution talks for, like, you know, forever. And then they're like, do you have anything to add? I certainly do, Your Honor.
Quietly looks at the floor. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
My defendant. Yeah, I love
it. Don't you all have a nice morning?
Yeah.
What did you have for breakfast? Like, you know, just absurd.
Then it turns into the My Cousin Vinny defense.
Yeah, totally.
Grits, okay.
No, but, like, and I'm not going to lie, I might toss in a little bit of Lionel Hutz every now and then.
Your Honor.
Just so that I could, like, just toss that voice in. You know, just every now and then, just to see if anybody in the jury is like, all right.
Yeah. I've argued in front of hundreds of juries in Springfield County, often as a lawyer. Okay, so you're telling me you're a criminal. That's terrible.
That's terrible. That's okay. The box is empty. yeah, I mean, that's just what I think it's funny. I think it's very, very funny.
That's great. I went to Hollywood Video near me, and they're having a sale. That's $3.99 for these specific types of DVDs if you rent two movies. So I went and I rented The Fall, which is supposed to be an amazing movie, and I rented Mad Men, which obviously everyone loves and I've heard so many things about. And then there are these movies that, so I got for $3.99, and a lot of them are, you know, not highbrow, but like, there's a Crimes and Misdemeanors by Woody Allen, Half Nelson with Ryan Gosling, which is an amazing film, and like Being John Malkovich. And then I got Commando starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so there was this awkward thing with the clerk. Where she first saw that I rented The Fall, she's like, oh my God, my daughter loves this movie. Right. It's so amazing, yada, yada, yada. Oh, Woody Allen. Oh, I love Woody Allen. Oh my God.
What I love is the dichotomy between, you know, just totally getting into a conversation
absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Half Nelson. Oh my God. Ryan Gosling. He looks like a pretty boy, but, you know, he has such chops as an actor.
And as she's talking at the bottom of the pile, I'm just getting nervous. Arnold Schwarzenegger holding this gun. Yeah. You know,
I get so nervous. My hands are sweaty. Oh my God. Being John Malkovich. I think Charlie Kaufman deserved an Oscar for every screenplay that he had written. Puts it down. Sees Commando. Oh. And then I start defending myself. I was like, bad movies.
Why can't you just, like, but that's, you can say, like, come on. It's just so
She
funny.
Wasn't buying it, though. She wasn't buying it. She was just like,
Was she cute?
No, she was like an older lady. She's like, okay, well.
All right, well. Come on,
so that'll be $27.33.
Okay. Oh, then just completely lost faith. Yeah, that, you know,
we were such good friends up until you saw that I bought Commando.
Well, that's why you got to do when you buy movies in that way, you have to do the actual spectrum. You've got to start with The Pianist, and then kind of slowly ease into Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Right.
Like you've got to have what would be like the intermediary between those.
Oh, you know what though? I disagree with that. I think that I like good movies. But I also like really bad movies.
Yeah.
And I don't like in-between movies. Like, I'm not going to buy Music and Lyrics with Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant. I'm not going to do it because it's like a whatever movie.
Yeah.
But if you're really bad, I enjoy watching really bad movies like Commando or Bloodsport.
Laser Blast. Carnosaur. See, the list goes on.
The Terror. Yeah. The list goes on.
But in addition to that, for $3.99, I can convince myself that I like a movie a lot more than I
do.
People will look on my DVD shelf and be like, really?
Really?
Really? And I'm like, hey, you don't know how cheap it was, and you don't know how much money I had at the time.
Absolutely. And so when I find Air Bud for $3.99, there's no doubt in my mind I'm going to buy
it. Just so you can go frame by frame. And just double check, you know?
Now look here. You see? Yeah.
That's clearly an actual dog.
God. It really annoys. Like, all jokes aside, it is really frustrating. I want to convince Sunkrish and Sterling so badly that Air Bud is real.
And it's typical with Sunkrish. I know exactly. No, there's no way.
Yeah.
Because I get enough of that when I'm trying to tell a story. but I can totally. No, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. That's totally how it must have gone. I'm with you on it, though. I don't believe the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park were real.
What?
But I do believe that it's possible. It's possible. That a lot of it was. That said, what was the one with the monkey playing baseball? Ed? Was it Ed?
I don't know. All those movies meld together. All the monkey movies meld together. I know there's a Clint Eastwood one, which is what? He's with an orangutan.
Yes.
Called, I'm not going to remember this. There's that one. I feel like there's a Bill Murray one.
Larger Than Life, where he has an elephant.
Well, isn't there one with a hotel? He's a monkey?
Who knows?
There probably is.
You know what?
I bet you every big actor has done a movie with a monkey.
The animal plus leading actor movies blend together for me. But in addition, all of the feel-good, mid to early 90s sports movies blend together for me.
Yeah.
Angels in the Outfield, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, I want to believe it's all one movie in which
well, they all have the same plot line.
Christopher Lloyd flies down to help a kid manage a baseball team.
Money.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, I want to say that all these movies are the same one.
Can I say this, though? I mean, I think it's all due to Tom Hanks being great. Turner and Hooch is, I think, by far the best of those.
Pair up
an actor with an animal. He made it work. I don't think it was the script or the directing, which was fine.
Yeah.
It was just Tom Hanks. You believe it. You believe it with Tom Hanks because he's a great actor.
I think right along the same time, John Belushi, Jim Belushi, did like K-9.
Yep.
Right along the same time, probably had verbatim similar scenes, coming home and the place is a mess.
Yeah.
But where Tom Hanks is like, come on, Hooch!
Yeah.
Like it worked. It worked.
I can't not like that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Tom Hanks is the type of guy where, like, okay, we got an idea. It's called Castaway. We're going to get an actor, and there's going to be no dialogue for about, I don't know, the majority of the movie. Oh, it's going to be a short movie? No, 3 hours long.
Yeah, yeah.
And is there going to be no talking? He's just going to... Yeah, just him on an island doing things.
But you're not going to...
Who are you going to get? Tom Hanks. Oh, okay, cool.
But you're not going to go so far as to have him, I don't know, engage with an inanimate object. Because that would just be
silly. We're going to get a volleyball.
Tom Hanks, you made me cry over a volleyball.
I'm saying this because I see my surfboard outside of my balcony. I think you can relate to this, Dave. The beach is such a dichotomy of... beautiful, serene. Smell that air, huh?
Yeah.
Salty sea air. Beautiful. Yeah, oh, very calm. The second that you get in that water and try to surf, boogie board, body surf, if it's the right type of beach, it's just the beach kicking your ass. It's just the beach just flipping you the bird. I mean, metaphorically.
Going to the beach with a frisbee is one thing. Because it's just, hey, you got the frisbee? Awesome. The surfboard is an ordeal. You've got to wax it. You've got to make sure you've got a car that can get you there.
I'm constantly worrying about a shark eating my feet off.
Well, yeah, but like, I mean, just getting to the beach is like a whole production.
Yeah.
You got to, like, you know, coordinate with your friends.
So I brought that up, like, even on the drive over, I'm worried about sharks eating my
car,
feet.
Like a car pulls up next to you, just this great white, you know, just like.
Just gives it a sort of finger to the eye.
Yeah, just, I'm coming for you,
Coming for you.
No, but like, and then so you get to the beach and you feel obligated to really make a day of it because it wasn't like you just kind of were there on a whim. You woke up early for it, and you get there and it's like the first wave knocks you on your ass and you're like, this isn't how I want to spend. I'm gonna go get a Slurpee.
Yeah,
you know, but you got to stay out there.
Yeah, it reminds me of when you go to the beach and try to surf a boogie board when you haven't done it a long time. It reminds me of, like, what I imagine the first day of boot camp in the Army would feel like. You're just like, oh my God, I'm sore in every part of my body. Every part.
I can do this for 3 seconds. You're saying I have to paddle and hold my board and get knocked on my ass and go back out for how many hours?
Yeah.
Like,
Well, I mean, essentially what it is, I mean... you're fighting for your life, basically. Like, it's just you trying to stay afloat.
Nature intended you not to be out there. And if you do get past the waves, you got to deal with sharks.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, it's great exercise, but don't get confused. You're fighting for your life.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Don't die.
Don't die, don't die, don't die.
That's all you're trying to do.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I mean, I remember us trying to play racquetball. We actually got pretty good at racquetball.
Okay, there's a story here.
Yeah.
So, none of us don't, I mean... Let's make this clear. None of us are good at racquetball.
Of us learned the rules.
We're all very passable, and so we got into playing racquetball at the UCLA courts when we were at UCLA.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to us, there's 4 courts, and the first court is what they call a challenge court. So you can play, but... anyone can come up to your court, knock on the door,
at
and say,
time.
Hey, once that game is done, I challenge you to you know, and I want to play you. And if he wins, he gets that court.
I don't even remember them being that gracious about it.
No.
I remember them stopping us in the middle of a match and being like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's like. Yeah. So, I mean, cut to us being very confused at people who had actually bought eye gear, like headgear.
Yep.
You know, had wristbands. I never understood the need of a wristband when you're playing
racquetball. My wrist doesn't sweat that much. Yeah.
If it does, you got other problems.
But yeah, so what happens is, I think it's me, Emil, you know, a few of our friends playing racquetball, probably four of us.
Yeah.
And I think it's Dave. David's definitely one of the people in the court playing. And this guy, one of these guys with the glasses and the wristband and the decked out to the nines, comes up, boom, 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 knocks on the glass, like kind of an a-hole about it. Yeah, I'm going to challenge you guys.
Yeah.
Like, and all of us are like, sorry, what?
Yeah.
Like, it's a challenge court. You're playing a challenge court, so I get to play you, and I get to keep it if I win.
And we're just like, sure.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. So, and that said, it wasn't just like we constantly picked the first court.
Yeah.
It was very busy,
yeah.
And it was always very crowded, so we would always try to pick, like, I mean, sometimes that was the only one that was open.
And I love that, I mean, none of us were standouts, but for some reason we put you... We put you to be the lamb to the slaughter.
Because
which is like, Dave's got it. Yeah, he's our standout. He's our star.
I was the one, I think, out of all of us who would jump for a shot, even if it was clear I wasn't gonna connect with the ball. I would be the guy that would put his body on the line and like just leap and try to hit it.
And so, watching this game, Dave, I mean, you didn't get to enjoy the comedy of the situation. We certainly did. Watching Dave try to play this semi-professional racquetball player. Not only was like he correcting Dave and like, no, what are you doing? No, you can't do that. There's a rule.
Yeah.
It was Dave. It was this semi-pro just like, wham, hitting the ball and like getting Dave to just dive for it on the serve. We're not even talking about he got a few on the serve and just landing on his knee and be like, oh.
I remember like one point he was he was like 37 upsies. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. You know, like, I don't know what that means. Yeah. Sure, 37 upsies. And then it would just be like, and it was just the reverberation of how hard he was able to hit that ball and how fast it traveled.
I love that.
And then I just remember, like, in 10 seconds, I got more of a workout than I had in weeks playing racquetball with anybody else. And we lost the court. Like, because I had a little bit of a positive attitude going in there. I was like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to really, like, own this guy.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be close and I'm going to win. And I'm going to be
show this
like,
guy who's the boss here.
You know, Tom's going to buy me a nice lobster dinner after this, you know. And I was holding my side. I think I was crying a little bit. Like,
I think you were. Yeah.
I couldn't.
It was, but listen, you were the best of us, I think. Anyone else would have gone to the hospital that day.
That was very, very funny.
Yeah.
That whole gym was insane, though. The college gym. It was either beautiful women or men that were much better looking and better built than me.
Yeah.
There was no in between.
Yeah.
I never saw somebody who was less in shape than me, like at their first time on a Stairmaster. It was either gorgeous women or guys that were asking you for a spot.
Yeah, and the problem with that is, I mean, there's nothing more embarrassing than you're on a certain, you know, weightlifting machine.
Yeah.
And a guy says, oh, yeah, takes out his headphones. Yeah, can I work in? I'm not going to say no. So I was like, yeah, sure. There's nothing more embarrassing that once he goes to work in, he, like, does a double take at the weight that you're lifting. Yeah. And he's like, okay. And he triples that weight.
Yeah, at the very least. You just that sound of...
Yeah,
of just him taking the thing out and just putting it way down. And then maybe you even trying to like, okay, so when he's done with it, I'll kind of try to step it up a little bit. I'm not going to do what he did, but I'll do a couple of...
That's always a bad move.
And then it's just you grabbing the bar and it's not moving.
It's not moving.
It's not even moving, you know?
Yeah.
I remember loving... You and I have very thin frames.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're in bad shape, but we have very thin frames.
Yes.
When we would try to go to that weight room...
Yeah.
It was just nothing but cut men.
Meatheads.
And you have to wonder, didn't they have to start somewhere? Didn't they have to walk into a weight room looking like us?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I always felt so self-conscious. I felt like I was doing the same thing that they were doing, albeit with much smaller weights.
Right.
But I always felt like I was getting the looks from them, like, why aren't you biceps at least 24 inch?
Right.
Why
don't
you have 24-inch pythons, man?
Right.
Like,
right.
It was never, and wasn't there, like, I could never do it for more than 10 seconds, and then I would go on the treadmill.
And I'm honest about my, you know, body situation. I definitely can be more defined, but I certainly don't want to be like those guys, though. I don't want to be so, like, muscular that I'm stiff and can't move things. Like, can't move my neck all the way.
I don't want to look like I wouldn't be able to evade a lion if I needed to. I don't want to get to that point.
Yeah. I don't want to be have to the situation of someone taps me on the shoulder and I have to move my whole body to see who was.
If you have to pivot your feet to turn around at all,
yeah.
you've got problems. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we've learned that Tom is afraid of sharks.
I think that's very clear.
By sea or land.
I enjoyed this episode. I think it harkened back to a simpler day when men were men and women were women. Am I right? Am I right?
When you could eat cornbread and feel like you accomplished something in the day.
I think we've all learned a little something from this episode. Especially that my defendant is not guilty of the charges he's been accused of.
Even though he may have a backpack with nothing in it, and he may be drooling.
I've got the suspenders and a bow tie.
And he may be approaching you in a parking garage. I believe he has a good heart. And you should drive him wherever he wants. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen of the audience.
Have a good week.